everybody, and thank y'all again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and as always, the man that I can't seem to get to slow down this week, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I've been busy.
I haven't talked to you in a week.
Well, I'm trying to catch up. Work's been very slow, and it's starting to pick up, and I'm scrambling because I've blown through all my savings. It's been rough. But I'm trying to get back on track. Yeah, no, I'm.
We used to talk every day. Most of the time, Kyle's been so busy. Literally, I hadn't talked to him in like 5 days.
I've been driving all over,
all night with your hands wet on that wheel.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, my allergies have been killing me. Oh, so if I sound weird,
well, you always sound weird.
Well, I know that, but I mean,
because the thing above your lip and below your eyes doesn't work properly.
No, I probably need nose surgery. It's been broken multiple times.
Back to playing hockey. The look.
Well, you ever seen like cauliflower ears? That's what it is. It's like calcified inside of my nose. And so that's it's like there's almost no breathing passage. It's terrible, terrible.
And then the allergies kick in.
But, the weather's been good. It's been raining all the time. The only bad part is I got to mow every 3 days because the grass just keeps growing. But Pop-Up had his birthday last week. So he is 74 now. And I had him over. My mom doesn't like steak. And it's probably because she doesn't know how to cook it properly.
So we've disowned her.
So they came over to my house. He wanted me to make a mistake. So I made him steak and twice baked potato and salad. And
hooked him up.
Yeah, he had a great time. We all had a great time. And of course, he got his cigars. He loves his cigars. Yeah. But that's all that we've been doing. There was something I was going to tell you.
I was helping the wife in the yard yesterday do some flower things and got eat up by fire ants.
Oh, really? I haven't seen fire ants in a while.
Well, I had neither till after all this rain, and they've just kind of, I don't know if they wash in, or I don't know where they come from.
But what good are they? Like, seriously, what purpose do they serve other than feeding birds?
All up and down my left hand and up down my left arm. It was one of those, you know, where you think like you've scratched yourself?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, you're in the briars or something, you scratch it, and then you look down, you're like, oh, wait, that's ants.
Yeah, I hate briars too.
I hate briars, mosquitoes. I don't like fire ants. I hate them. I wish you could find a use for them, like to gather up all those fire ants and like grind them into dust and like maybe they help like, the gout. I don't know. There's got to be something that we can do for them. But I got a story for you, homie.
Okay.
I dug this out. I've been sitting on this. Let me get my spectacles on. Are you ready for this? We're going all the way down to Australia for this one. There was an upright tiger man.
Tiger Man.
That's right. Tiger Man.
Cool title.
That's right. He was encountered in there in Queensland. Get a load of this. I encountered a Catman humanoid being in the woods of northern Queensland, Australia.
He saw a real life tabaxi.
That's, oh, heck yeah. I was working at a security detention center in a place called, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Weepa?
Sure.
I'm going to say Weepa. A place called Weepa up there. It's vast land there with woods stretching for miles and miles. It was about 3 a.m. when this encounter occurred. There were four security posts around the fence line, which had a man to make sure the detainees didn't escape. Where are you going to go? Maybe the cat man was waiting for you to go out because he was hungry.
And I don't think Australians are allowed to own firearms, are they?
Oh, yeah, they've got some.
They do?
You have to go through a lot of stuff and get all of your registration for it and all. I mean, like, there's a lot of paperwork and logging that you have to do. But, yeah, they can have guns.
I want to use that thing like Crocodile Dundee had where you whip it around and throw stuff.
Yeah, not the didgeridoo, but that thing on the end of the rope.
That's I heard that scares Tiger Man away.
Well, he should have had one of these because it says, I was stationed at Zulu 3 Post, which was situated behind the detention center, where those seven Lebanese detainees escaped 3 months before I started working there. So it says it was 3 a.m. and I was sitting at my post watching a kookaburra bird swoop down from the top of a tall fence to the grass collecting bugs and lizards. When I heard a crash in the woods behind my post, this caused all of the occupying kookaburra birds to wake up and call. There were thousands of them there in northern Queensland. I quickly got up and ran to see what the commotion was all about. That's when I saw what the birds were hacking at. It was a cat humanoid standing about 2 meters behind my post.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. It's a cat. Yeah. And maybe it was there to eat the birds. That's what I'm going with. It said that it was making its way through the trees until it saw me standing there watching it. It stopped and put both its hands up, which looked like long claws. Now, you ready for this? It stood about 8 to 9 feet tall. I was trying to see what it looked like through the darkness, but all I could see feature-wise was the shape of a cat's face, like that of a tiger. And honestly, it looked ferocious. And it was built like it was made to do serious damage. Standing on 2 feet, it then walked backwards into the woods and then vanished into the darkness of these woods. And I was so glad I had a 40-foot fence between me and that monstrosity. Now, for the remainder of my time working there, I kept my back facing towards the detention center and my front facing towards the woods. This encounter, I'll take to my grave, Martin.
Yeah, man. And for whatever reason, hey-o. Australia's got a lot of wild animals. If there was something to exist,
at 100%, that's
probably where it would be, right?
I like 100%.
I like to pretend that there's like some exotic laboratory somewhere out there, and they're creating like the island of Dr. Moreau, making these human-animal hybrids, and one got loose. And
now, do you like the old Burt Lancaster one, or do you like the Marlon Brando island of Dr. Moreau?
I like the Brando. I like the Brando
because of Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just thought it was a better movie.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Burt Lancaster? I'm pretty sure it was Burt. But the one guy turns into like the cat.
The cat man, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. That's right, and that's exactly what it would look like.
Yeah.
It's unsettling.
A Leonin.
But why does it feel like it would be down there?
I don't know, and for whatever reason, not that the story.
Like, I buy it.
The story's not crazy enough. If you said it was 4 foot tall, I would find that more believable than 9 foot tall.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying that it's not accurate. I don't know why my mind always goes there.
Yeah.
Check this out. It says, I don't know what I saw, but I can still see it clear as day.
Uh-oh.
I was 14 years old and living in my old house in Oregon that was rural, backed up to BLM land, and other homes were at least a mile away. My bedroom window looked out over our front yard on the second story. I used to not to be able to sleep so great, so I would stay up watching movies or just looking out that window. That night, I was looking out the window, and what appeared to be a tall, naked man stepped out of the bushes onto our lawn.
Sorry.
There was moonlight, so I was able to see him pretty clearly. It stepped out of the bushes extremely cautiously and began looking around. This is when I noticed how extremely pale it was.
He looked like a man.
It was almost reflective in the moonlight. It also had no clothing, but no discernible hair either. Like none on the head or the genitals. It was also muscular. The best thing I could describe it as looking as is the Prometheus alien.
Thanks.
I just sat there watching it completely bewildered as to what it was. I thought, is this a man? Is it a man in a full white spandex suit?
It's a man, baby.
After it stood and looked around for a while, it just casually walked off to the back of our house. It shocked me so badly that I woke my parents up and told them that there was an intruder outside. I never saw it again. I felt extremely afraid of it because my eyes could not process logically what the hell it was. It did seem casual, though, like it wasn't afraid of being seen. I wonder what it would have done if it saw me watching it. My parents remember the incident as well, so I was 100% awake. I have thought about a skinwalker or a crawler, perhaps, but this thing was not frail or slender. It was well built. The body looked mostly human, and the limbs seemed normal length. But it was pure white. I could see abdominal muscles. So if it was a human, they would have to be in a pure white spandex suit, head to toe. And the genital area was smooth. The eyes appeared black when it did look in my general direction. But it was nighttime. Jay.
That is an alien.
Right? Probably.
Well, I always think when you see, like, especially these. Only two reasons it would be that color is either it spends its life underground or in space where there's no sun.
Well, that's why you said like the Prometheus alien, but it's not really the alien. It's the, whatever they call those guys that started.
The engineers.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's because they were jacked.
Yeah. With no genitals.
And yes, I'm saying that on purpose.
So sad.
Right. PSA, I've got several emails lately and on social media asking if I'm mispronunciating the word skeleton for Skeleton Studios. No, we're doing it on purpose.
Yes.
It's Skeleton Studios. And the reason we did that is back when we were first starting the show in like 2012, my boys were little. They were like five at the time. And they couldn't pronounce the word skeleton. So they always said skeleton. So we said, hey, we need a unique name for our studio
there
for
it
copyright
is.
And trademarks and stuff.
Skeleton.
So we just started saying skeleton, and it just that's it. Just like I don't say hamburger. I say meat and cheese and two circle breads
that's right.
because that's what they would say.
That's where bread came from.
That's where bread
those
came
little
from.
Guys.
Yeah.
Troublemakers all through and through.
Well,
they used to harass us.
Well, they still are.
They're
still troublemakers.
Kid.
Check this out. I got another one real quick.
Oh, yeah.
This comes from Juarez, Mexico. And this occurred on May 30th, 1986.
Ooh.
At exactly 8:30 p.m.
I was 11 years old.
It says, Carlos was bicycling home after visiting family and was using a side road to avoid heavy traffic. Soon, about 500 meters ahead, he noticed what appeared to be two large luminous eyes staring at him. As he approached the eyes, the bicycle light turned off and Carlos' movements seemed lethargic. The short figure, with large luminous eyes, approached the witness and ordered Carlos to follow him. The figure remained 4 meters ahead of Carlos, who seemed unable to resist and followed the creature to a field where a large lighted object rested on the ground. A ramp descended to the ground and Carlos entered this craft, followed by two more short humanoids. Inside, he found himself in a lighted circular area with what appeared to be a square table in the middle of the room. In a corner stood a taller, more heavy-set figure with large, luminous eyes. For some unknown reason, Carlos knew that this creature was the leader. He described the figure as having huge, oval-shaped, hairless head, large black eyes, lacking any pupils, had two holes for ears and two holes for a nose, and a slit-like, lipless mouth. The head was directly set on its shoulders, lacking a neck, and appeared to have a hump on its back. It had dark gray skin, resembling that of an elephant, with long arms and legs. A bizarre feature was its hands, which ended in numerous thin filaments resembling roots. No apparent clothing was seen. At this point, Carlos was very afraid, but heard a mental message imploring him to be calm, and that they did not mean harm to any humans. A telepathic conversation ensued in which the humanoid invited the witness to come with them to their place of origin. Carlos declined the invitation and was told that they understood his decision. He was then shown on a diffused screen on a wall, a dry, arid world, apparently the humanoid's point of origin. He was also informed that they could transform their bodies and appearance at will and was given a brief demonstration cam.
But yet they decide to stay looking like they look.
Yeah, they like that look. Suddenly, the witness was overcome by darkness and Carlos passed out. When he woke up, he found himself lying on the road next to his bicycle at about 2,200 hours. He suffered from severe insomnia for the next 2 weeks and from terrible nightmares. He found several round red marks around his belly button area and circular marks around his underarms. Later, under hypnosis, he was able to remember that at one point on board the craft, he was taken into a room where he saw numerous objects resembling telephone booths. He was asked to enter one of them, and once inside, a bright blue light, covered his body. Like they were Xeroxing the guy, right? They were scanning
him.
I did the same thing when I went to Nashville. The TSA made me go in this booth, right? And I heard all these things sucking and making noises and scanning me. Yet they didn't find the clip that was in my booth the whole time, right? Yeah, so listen, if you're a terrorist and you want to smuggle a knife, just put it in your boot. They can't find it.
Lose the clip on it. The clip will stay in your shoe.
Once outside, he looked inside another one of the booths and saw a figure identical to appearance as him. Before he was leaving, he was told by the leader to keep an eye for the sign of their return by being aware of the sound of distant thunder. So they like cloned him. He saw a clone of himself in the next booth.
Great.
This story comes from our friend Robert, Albert Rosales. I'm sorry, I almost said Robert Rosales, but then halfway through it, I was like, who's that? Albert Rosales.
So, all I could think about, this is where my mind went when you said that, is I'm like, they're going to steal his Haro.
Yeah, his
right?
bike.
Because I'm like, when we were kids, and all y'all listening that are around our age, it was a big deal, right?
Diamondback.
A Mongoose, Diamondback, GT. Haro, GTs. They were all made here.
Is that still
here.
A thing even?
Yeah, no. Are you? Well, yes. Yeah, but I don't know that it's still
Do
with
you
them
remember
or whatnot.
Down in Lake Worth on Casino Beach, they used to have that BMX racetrack.
Yes, I do remember that. Right? I never rode it, but I do
never
remember.
Did either.
Yeah,
but I thought it was cool. I thought it was rad. I wanted to.
It was rad because Crew Jones is rad.
I never got a cool bicycle, but I guess
because you're not cool.
I'm not complaining. I had dirt bikes, which were better.
That was true. Yeah, that was true. Look, I've got something here for you.
Yeah, lay it on me.
This goes back to Old Crow Medicine Show. This took place near Johnson City, Tennessee. Lon fired this off because he knows how much I love to harass Mr. Filson, folks. Get a load of this. During the early afternoon of June 18th, 1997, near Johnson City, Tennessee, the witness and his cousin were out hunting and were sitting on the side of the wall of a rather large hollow, which consisted of very thick underbrush and a lot of overgrown and evergreen vegetation. A larger valley then leads first to a clearing and then down or then on to a supposed Indian cemetery or graveyard. Then all of a sudden they hear the brush in the hollow below rattling, and they could tell that whatever was making the sounds was rather large. The main witness was armed with a Ruger 10/22.
Nice.
Now get a load of this. With approximately 150 rounds of ammo ready to go. That's what I'm screaming. Now, under his night vision scope, dude, this guy rocks.
He has a night vision scope on a 10/22?
Yeah, and probably those little 25-round mags.
Yeah, right.
Dude, you could have a good time, right?
We used to hunt turtles and stuff when we both had those as kids.
Yeah.
Back when you could buy a brick of 22 long rifle for like $30.
A little of nothing.
Now it's like 100.
You're right. Says, under his night vision scope, he could see what appeared to be a man. But upon further inspection, he realized that this man was a creature about 7 to 8 foot tall, approximately 450 pounds.
Jeez.
It was covered with thick black fur, but was slimmer than the popular Bigfoot image, almost skinny, with a neck. Also protruding on either side of its head were long tapered horns, also black in color. On the top of the head also protruded a horn pointing straight up. All horns were approximately 5 to 6 inches in length and were the same dark color as the creature. Says the terrified witness emptied a 25-round mag into the creature and then retreated into a nearby cabin about 65 feet away. That's not near far enough. The next morning, they could not find anything except for a lot of spent shell casings and bullet holes on a walnut tree. Now, he said he thought he had struck the creature several times. Nearby animal traps had been sprung and all the bait extracted. And on a nearby ridge, the witness located a series of tunnels made up of brush of various sizes of tree limbs, vines, and leaves. They thought it could have been the lair of the beast. They were so afraid after this, they returned home.
Wow.
Now, the tunnels through the brush could be hogs. They do that like crazy. Deer do that. Anything moves down through there enough, you know, but usually pigs will knock pretty good sized tunnels through there and then the deer will start using them. But yeah, I guess it could have been this thing. Or maybe it was the walnut tree you shot 25 rounds into.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know, right? I don't know. But if you're looking through a night vision, you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a thermal, you're like, bro, I got this.
I'm reminiscing. I'm sorry.
But it does say just night vision scope. So not a thermal. Not as clear. Right.
There's a clear vision. So the difference is a night vision scope, it actually shoots a light, and then that scope can pick up that light. But the light is invisible to a human eye or an animal's eye, right?
Yeah.
And then a thermal is truly...
Just that.
Some
crazy thermal.
I'm reminiscing about not just the 10/22 I had and we had.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking about my old Marlin M60.
Yep, there you go.
Remember, I was a semi-automatic, but it had a tubular magazine.
Yeah. Went up underneath the barrel. That was a good time.
I don't think they make that anymore. They still do make the Ruger 10/22, though.
Oh, yeah. I've got one. I've got an old one around here somewhere.
Man, I like the ones with the carbon barrels and the built-in suppressors.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking. And the whole platform you can build them on that look like some crazy space gun.
That's
pretty awesome.
Cool.
Speaking of awesome, folks,
yeah, let's take a break.
We're going to take a break. And when we get back, I'm going to be talking about some very strange encounters. We're going to do a little hunter encounter in the woods a little bit at first. And we're going to get into some strange little people encounters. I think you're going to enjoy. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Y'all, y'all, I'm going to try this intro to the segment again. I was just recording one, and it sounded like I had a bombing raid sent right over the top of my house. Jets come by, all kinds of noise. I didn't know I was going to war with my neighbors. All kinds of stuff was going on. It was loud and roaring madness is what it was. I'm like, well, I got to stop that. Scrap this one. That's awesome. Today, we've got story time with Uncle Ham. I think I found some good ones. Every time we go on Ducks Unlimited, we have a blast, but it's like the bounce back of stories is wild. Like we get a bunch, they get a bunch, but y'all seem to just dump them on us. It's a reminder. Oh yeah, I got this story. Oh yeah, I got that story. So it works great. Every time we go on there, we get them sent to us. And we just, like I said, I've got a pile of them. Not all of these, of course, are hunter related, but a lot of them are to do with the outdoors because it's scary and I love it. Right? That's the reason I do it. I love it. Now, we all know, unless you're brand new, if this is your first show, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. If you didn't know this, I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you. Big Fizzy, Mr. Kyle Almighty Filson, he really enjoys giants. He's got a pile of giant books he couldn't run and jump over. And I don't mean big books, giant books. I mean on the topic of giants. I like the fae and the little people, right? So I kind of lead more towards into that, and I can't ever get him to do enough giant sightings because, well, there's not near as many as there are fae, but I might get him to try to dig up some. So we're going to go into some sightings that's happened with hunters and dudes in the outdoors and men, women, children, everybody in the outdoors having a good time. You're going to run into something creepy, crazy. We're going to get down with it. This takes place on September 27th of 1999 in a little place called Peppertown, Indiana. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I think Peppertown is a hot spot. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what about Peppertown, but Indiana is beautiful areas. It's lovely up there. Get a load of this. There was a hunter. Of course there was. Taking a stroll through a wooded area, just cruising, minding his own business, come across a smell. He said this smell resembled that of burnt ozone. And at this moment, he stands in there. He's like, what is that? Then he hears something, dawns on him. What's that sound? I hear what sounds like a very low electrical hum, he states. So he goes, I'm going to walk down this hill. That's where it's coming from. He goes to kicking down this hill into this little valley. There is when he freezes. And about 150 yards, he's looking down the hill into the valley. He sees a humanoid figure, but not one, not two, but three. Three humanoid figures around the carcass of a white-tailed deer. Yeah. Now, he says that behind these beings was a round metallic object. He said you could see the definition of it sharply. 12-foot radius, about 10-foot tall. Sounds like he sat there for a while because he says after about 15 minutes, a being came out of this aircraft or whatever this was. He said, and it appeared to, not the being, the craft appeared to him to be stainless steel. He said he came out, this being did, and pointed up the valley, up the hill rather, to the witness. And he said at this point, the beings decided, hey, there's us another one. They start moving towards the witness. This fella panics, as any of us would. What's he do? Does he turn and run back up the hill? No, he was being cool this whole time. At this point, when they come walking up, he opens fire. That's right. He sends five shots down. Now, I don't have any idea if anyone was hit. The story doesn't tell us that. The story doesn't tell us the size of the caliber of the rifle. If it was a shotgun, if it was a rifle, period. We have no idea. But he sends five hot shots downrange and turns and runs up the hill. He says as he's reaching the top of the hill, he hears a very strange sound. And he estimates in 60 to 90 seconds, whatever this thing was started leaving. It lifted up above the trees, shot off up into the sky. So, you know, hats off to them. Typical American fashion. Don't come dressed like aliens and run up the hill pointing. You're going to get shot at. So, like I said, I have no idea if it hit them or not. But that wasn't the only one that we got dropped off to us. There was another story that we somebody linked in to us. This comes from 1981 in southern Georgia. Now, I like it, too, because it goes along with the fact of being out in the quiet and walking up on something. Right. Just discovering things, which I'll tell you this, for a lot of those that don't spend time in the woods hunting, you may spend a lot of time in the woods and not realize what you're doing and the way it works. But if you can stay quiet and get the wind in your face and move deliberately, don't stomp through the woods, don't push and brake, just ease through there. Take your time, deliberately step where you want to step, walk a few minutes, 1 or 2, 3 minutes and stop. Take a little time to listen, work your way through the trees, just enjoying your day, but going extremely quiet. You will be surprised what you can walk up on and see, what things can't smell you and can't hear you, have no idea you're coming. And that's what makes it so much fun. So this is what's going down in this one. Late evening, southern Georgia, two hunters returning back to the cabin. And of course, at dusk, and at one point, they were joined up, started walking together, when suddenly from behind a large tree on the right, directly in front of them, they said a figure walked out into the path not more than a dozen feet away. Now, they claimed that this figure wore a silvery spacesuit with a helmet and visor similar to that of what you'd seen on modern astronauts. Says they both stopped and stared at this astronaut. The astronaut also stopped and then turned and looked at them. After about 20 seconds, this astronaut being turned and stepped back behind the tree. So the guys are standing there at first. They don't know what to do, right? They can't believe what they've seen. They didn't move. They're just froze there. They said they waited about 5 seconds, bring their rifles up, move around to behind the tree. And at that time, the thing is gone. It just tree walked. It just stepped inside of a tree, whatever it was. This thing was just had vanished. They also said that the foliage around the tree was super thick and that anyone walking through there would have made so much noise. You could have seen them. You could have heard them. There was no way that this thing could have just slipped away. So, of course, they're freaked out, right? They're scared. So they turn around and book it back to the cabin. But they don't leave. They don't pack up. They don't anything. Just get out of there. The very next day, they get up, get their guns, and go out on a deliberate mission to see what was out there. You know what they found? That's right. Nothing. There was nothing there. They said they looked all around this whole area for any trace of anything. Nothing. Couldn't even find the sign of anything even walking around there, which is very interesting, right? The idea that you couldn't even see where it looked like the leaves were disturbed, where something had stood or walked or milled around. It didn't climb the tree. It didn't run through. It stepped out of a portal and then just stepped back into a whoop. Whoop, sorry, wasn't supposed to step out here. Sorry, guys, I'll let y'all pass. I'll wait for you to get out of the way. Nothing more embarrassing, right, than stepping out of the shower and getting caught by somebody you didn't know was coming through there. Or what's worse, I'm just stepped out of the portal and got caught. Thank goodness he was wearing his astronaut suit. Here's another one. They got dropped off to us. This is an interesting one too. And when I tell you where it's at, you kind of envision all this taking place. It fits. This story was relayed by another person relaying their aunt's story that says my aunt and her family lived in a very rural and backwoods area of Lincoln County, West Virginia, right? So country road me up. Here we go. She said that her father would go fox hunting, loved to fox hunt, periodically would take him and his buddies. They'd go up into the mountains and had a camp up there. They'd go up there and take their dogs. They'd chase foxes, basically going to hunting camp, hanging out, drinking, playing cards, dudes being dudes, telling stories around the campfire, probably just a lot of laughs. So this person says that my aunt had many siblings, which was, of course, not uncommon back in the 50s. So it says her mother decided that they would all walk together, all of the younger ones, the children, all of they wanted to walk up into the mountains up there, which wasn't far where, when I say far, it wasn't like they drove hours away. They just went up into the mountains behind their house. So a decent walk, but they were going to walk up in there to go to the husband's camp, right? To the father's camp, just to go up there, say hi, see what was going on. That was it. So this person says my aunt was actually one of the little party, one of the kids that was going to walk up. So she said that they start walking, and they walk a long way back up into the mountains, spend a few hours relaxing and hanging out with the dad at the hunting camp, playing with the dogs, just chilling up there. Then the girls decide, you know what? This is great. We're having a blast. But they didn't pay attention until it starts getting late. So at this point, like, you know what? Y'all are fixing to head back. Dad goes and gets the lantern, gets it all fired up, gives it to the wife. The wife says, okay, let's take the kids. Let's go on down. You know, let's do all this. So they head down. So the group goes down, got the light from the fox hunters camp. You know, it starts kind of fading out of sight. They're just walking along down through there. So as they start going, the mom turns and sees what she says. Look, there's another lantern. Looks like, well, maybe one of them needs something. It's coming down the hill, coming from the camp area. So they all stop in the road. At this point, it comes down into the road and starts making its way directly towards them. Awesome. No big deal. As it gets closer, that's when the mom realizes what it is. She says it's a small ball of light, maybe the size of a softball, comes right down there, right in behind them. Of course, you know, thinking it wasn't any big deal, they're all standing there. It gets into there where they can see a better view of it, and you can see that it wasn't the lantern, but the ball floating, 3 foot off the ground, moving. This is in the 1950s, y'all. Boom. Mom goes into mom mode, grabs the kids, gets them in front of her, and tells them to run. Run as fast as you can. Now, you got to imagine how scared you would be in the dark. Only thing giving you light is whatever it is chasing you and your mom's lantern, right? So you're running down a mountain trail in a handmade cotton dress, trying not to fall down and knock your teeth out. More than likely, a bunch of them were barefoot, right? Running around in the mountains in the 50s in West Virginia. More than likely, there was a lot of barefoot folk. You, man, them's tough kids and people all the way around running down this mountain. So they run down the mountain. The aunt gets them all into the room, you know, gets them all inside. The mother to the aunt gets them all inside the house. They get down there, cram them in, boom. Mom gets the door shut, locks it, freaking out. They sat in there for probably an hour, none of them making any sound. They're just looking at each other and waiting. They have no idea what it is, expecting any minute for something terrible to happen. Finally, mom's had enough. She slips over to a window and starts looking out. Then she goes to another one, makes her way around the house, looking through the windows. Not a thing. Never saw it again. Nothing happened. This fae, this ball of lightning, I have no idea what this could possibly be, but it just decided to escort them on its way down, trying to be a nice person, just do the right thing. But no. You get run off, scare them all off. That's the way it always works. Just trying to help them out in the dark. And that's what happens. Now, HD sent this in, dropped this off. This sounds pretty interesting. It says, I once held a hunting lease in Middle Georgia. It was an abandoned hunting camp that hadn't been used in several years. Now, I'm not superstitious at all, but this place was legitimately spooky. See, it was miles down an overgrown dirt road, completely surrounded by the woods. It's probably the most secluded place that I'd ever been. I used to hunt there by myself a lot, and there was always this weird sense that, well, I wasn't alone out there. There was a locked gate at the front of the property, but it was not uncommon for us to find the front door of the cabin open, even when the door was locked. Now, that was pretty creepy, but that's not what this story's about, see. One evening, I was hunting down in a small valley by a food plot we put, lining a creek that bordered the property. From the minute I sat down, I had a weird feeling. Like I wasn't safe in this place, even though I'm holding a .308 with ballistic tip rounds. I didn't feel like I was the top predator out there. Now, I didn't see any deer while I was sitting in that stand, but the forest was abuzz with activity. Birds and squirrels and other critters singing their normal every evening symphony, and then all of a sudden, silence. Everything just stopped. It felt like everything in the woods was looking right at me. It was getting dark fast anyways, and I was extremely creeped out, so I packed up my gear and started to walk back up to the cabin. Now, about 100 yards away, I had this feeling that something was coming up behind me. I spun around and pointed my rifle back down the path towards the food plot, and that's when I saw it. There was something standing in the middle of the path. It wasn't a person, but it didn't look like a deer or anything I've seen before. There was hardly any light to make out any features, but it almost looked like some kind of bipedal deer or something. It was just standing there, staring at me. I quickly made my way back to the cabin. I packed up my stuff, got in the truck, and I got out of there. I just let the lease run out. From that day forward, I never went back. So the sighting, or the possible sighting, of a not deer, if that's what it was, turned HD completely away from going back out there ever again. And I'm not so sure how I would act. Like, for those that don't know, the place that Kyle and I hunt on together, in and around that area, has had a lot of encounters. Or I say a lot of. There's for this area. You know, we don't get a ton of crazy encounters going on. You hear stories south of us down along the Brazos River, whatnot. There's been a couple of tales of stories. One, I think, happened back in the late 90s, probably a half a mile from where we're at. And then one was maybe early 2000s, and it was a little further. It was probably a couple of miles from where we were at, of people claiming that they've seen something cross the road, large, hairy bipedal, cross the road in front of them in the middle of the night. Now, we didn't get the place because of it. We just lucked into that place came available. Now, we've never, or at least I've never, I'd have to ask Kyle, you know, to make sure, but I'm sure he'd have said something. You've heard us talk about the pigs, the coyotes, like, it's crazy. I wished I had some good audio of it. I need to start carrying the camera more out there where you can hear it and all that stuff if you want to see and hear all this stuff. It's pretty wild when they really get after it, right? When the pigs really get going, it's fun. But we've never had anything crazy ever happen out there like that. But I don't know if I would stay if I did. I might be like HD. I might be where I'm like, you know what? I think I'm done. Some kind of crazy, because I don't know what it would take. I could sit here right now with confidence and say that it would take something massive and extremely terrifying and maybe life-threatening in order for me to go, oh, I can't go back out there. But I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it would just simply be a glimpse of something. And then me building the unknown in my brain would end up freaking me out so bad that I would never, ever want to go back. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope I don't find out, to be honest. I really don't want to see anything like that out there because I enjoy going and hanging out. I enjoy going. As funny as this is, I enjoy going out there. Sometimes I take a lunch, run a packet in my backpack, go out there and set. We have a tank, like a big pond, pretty good sized on the place, and it's surrounded by trees. And it may have only been dry once, I think, and it may have been several years back, but it usually always holds water. And it's got a lot of red-eared sliders in it, which you don't know they're turtles. I have a blast. You go out there. They're all shapes and sizes. There's a whole mess of them out there. It's fun to just chill and watch the turtles mess around. You ever seen one struggle trying to get up on a log so he can sun? It's pretty funny. Looks like me trying to get up. So I relate. I don't want to lose that, right? I don't want to lose that kind of fun just because I run across something scary. But what if it's not in front of you, but it's above? Listen to this. I don't see a name on this one. I don't know. So I have no idea where this one comes from. Let me look down here. Nope, no name there either. We're just going to go with it. Mr. and Miss Doe, I guess, right? John and Jane Doe sent this in. I don't know where this is. So this is what it says. This is the story of an experience I had in Cradle Mountain National Park in Tasmania, Australia. Here we go. I love Australian stories too. This took place in my early teens, it says. Despite causing no physical injury, it has haunted me into adulthood. I grew up in a family of avid hikers, both my mother, a botanist, and my father, a biologist from the University of Tasmania, would regularly visit the deepest wilderness areas of Tasmania during their field studies. These trips were disguised as camping and hiking adventures for the family. Well, I never minded, as I was just as passionate about the outdoors as they were, even from a young age. Key word being was. As after what I went through, even 20 plus years later, I still refuse to return. Oof, this is going to be a good one, right? We lived on a property a short driving distance from Lake St. Clair, a popular tourist destination. This was the only place my parents would allow me to camp and experience the wilderness alone, as long as I brought my German Shepherd with me. He was a former police dog and very well trained. And at 12 or 13 years old, I didn't mind. It felt like my own little slice of freedom, in my own little slice of the wilderness, despite being surrounded by people. It was easy to ignore them. But as I got older and more brazen, I found myself hounding my parents to let me take my quad bike deeper into the park to camp, to test my own abilities and to prove to them that I was capable of doing so, and that I wasn't a little kid anymore. Well, it was that overconfidence that led me to that situation and caused me this trauma. Let me get this all keyed up. There's all kinds of stuff. Hold on. I was 15 at the time of this experience and the age where I thought I was invincible. I knew all there was to know, and I was untouchable. After asking my parents for what felt like an uncomfortable number of times and being told no just as many times, I had enough, and I decided to just go. I told my parents that I had a few friends were going to the lake to camp and to do some fishing over the weekend. Instead, I took my tent, my quad, and I headed into the reserve. I left just after sunrise to maximize daylight and to make it as far in as I felt comfortable. Once arriving, I set up camp, had some food, and decided to go for an explore. I'm going to stop right there. And this is how people go missing, right? This is how, where nobody knows where they go, you just bounce off on your own, and the next thing you know, you're a statistic. This is where bad things can happen right here. Okay. Let me get back here to it. See if I can find in it. Here we go. I knew of a spot nearby with a gorgeous rock face where fossils had been found in the past, so I thought I'd try my luck. Shortly into the walk, I realized I'd been turned around, and I had no idea where I was anymore. Now, at the time, I didn't see it as a big deal, as I had a compass, and I knew that if I headed south, it would take me back to the lake, and I could walk from there. However, by this time, it was getting late in the afternoon, so stupidly, I decided to try my chances and make it back to my camp and quad bike so I wasn't walking back to camp from the lake in the dark. Big mistake. It was about 4:30 and the sun had begun to dip below the tree line, casting dark shadows across my walking path. And that's when the forest went silent. And when I say silent, I mean silent. No wind, no birds, no forest sounds at all, which made my heart rate skyrocket. It's getting dark. The silence is suffocating. I just wanted to get back to my camp. I just want a lot of fire. I just want to get a little snack, spend my night watching nature's television until I fell asleep. And that's when, from every direction, I would hear the sound of twigs cracking and something moving in the canopy above me. No big deal, right? Probably birds or some small animals, I thought. But then, as clear as day, hey, come here. At first, I felt relieved as I thought someone along the trail had seen me, noticed I was a bit disheveled, wanted to help. But looking around, I saw no one. Then it happened again, but behind me this time, the same voice. But I noticed it was coming from up in the trees. So I responded, "I can't see you. Where are you?" And asked for some help because I thought I just couldn't see the person calling out. Then it happened again, from my left this time. That's when I decided to run. I took off into the brush and ran for a good 2 minutes before I stopped to catch my breath and to look at my compass to start making my way towards the lake. I was terrified, but I felt I'd covered enough distance that I wasn't in immediate danger. But seconds after checking my compass and starting to walk, I heard it again. "Hey, come here." But this time, it was right behind me. I spun around and I saw absolutely nothing. So I began sprinting again, and I didn't stop. The last thing I heard before bursting out of the trees onto the lakefront was the most evil, demonic laugh I'd ever heard. It sounded like three people laughing at once. I immediately called my parents to come get me, told them what I had done and what happened, but they were more focused on my disobedience than my experience. The moment they picked me up was the first time I felt relief, and I cried the whole drive home. I didn't sleep properly for days. My dad went and picked up my quad and tidied up my camp, and since that day, I haven't stepped foot away from the lake. If anyone has had any experience like this, I would love to hear about it, because it took my passion from me. I miss being out away from society and away from all the hustle and bustle where I can enjoy it, but I can't bring myself to do it anymore. Yikes. Yikes. Holy moly. That's a bit much, right? But again, as I was telling you, not in front of you, but up in the trees, could this have been a glimmer man in Australia? Could this have been something like that messing with them? You hear it breaking the tree limbs, right? Then you hear it talking, sounds like that, but you can't see it. Could that be what that was? I have no idea, but I definitely enjoyed the heck out of that story. Now, I've got some others. I'm going to bounce back a little. Well, I can't say less creepy. Still creepy, just a different type of creepy. This is one that I'd found a while back. I've got a couple of these I want to share with you when I was talking about little people. Now, you're waiting to hear a little people story. I got you one. It says, my grandmother, and this is Nina writes this in, sent this in. It says, my mother and grandmother swear this story is true. I find it a bit strange, but very interesting. It's the summer of 1969, and my mother is 19 years old. Now, before I go any further, I know what you might be thinking, but my mother doesn't do drugs and never did. Trust me. So anyway, the summer of 1969, and my mother is sleeping in her room, which is just off the kitchen. She stayed at my grandmother's sometimes while my father served over in Vietnam. So she had the window open that night and heard something outside. She sat up and continued to listen. She was about to get up and look out when she saw a little man crawl through. It didn't scare her for some reason, which I thought was strange. It walked up to the foot of her bed, climbed up, and sat down with his legs hanging over the edge. My mom didn't do anything. She said she just sat and stared at him. He looked like a gnome, according to her description. At least that's what I've come up with. He sat there trying to get comfortable, and when he was finally situated, he reached into a little bag that he's carrying and pulls out a pipe, puts it in his mouth and lights it, takes a couple of puffs, and then turns and faces her. And he said to her, I have some bad news about your husband, my father. But not to worry, he says. He's okay. He continued on that my father was in terrible trouble and that she will hear more about this in the morning. He tapped his pipe in his hand, jumped off the bed, strolled over, hopped up and crawled back out the window. And that's when it finally sank in my mother's head of what just had happened. And she decided to call out for my grandmother. My grandmother came into the room, turned on the light, and asked her what was wrong. As my mom began to explain, my grandmother, not paying attention to really what she was saying, noticed the smoke lingering in the room and asked if she'd been smoking in here. My mother told her, no, this is the story. My grandmother didn't believe her. But the next morning, my mother got a phone call from the army and said that my father was injured in an attack and would be home in about 10 days. Well, at that moment, my grandmother believed her. And I asked my mom why she thought it was a ghost, and she said that it was because that she could see through him. I thought ghosts could float or whatever, but why didn't this little gnome ghost, why did he have to crawl through the window? Why couldn't he just float through the wall or float up and over into the window? She doesn't know, and neither do I. But anyway, that's my story, and it's for y'all to decide. Nina, thank you so much for the little ghostly gnome story. Maybe he was just not fully there, right? Maybe he's just, that's the way he looked at the time. I don't know. But I do love me a good little gnome story. I'm going to leave y'all with one more. I can't end it with the feel-good story. Y'all know better than that. We have to lead it with a little bit of a creepiness. We got this one a while back from Kyrie. She says, when my fiance left his home to come be with me, We lived 7 states away. Now, we stayed in one of the rooms of the house that faced the front yard. And it was because of this that we were able to witness most of this strange phenomenon that keeps happening around our house. It's an experience that I wasn't wholly aware of until my fiance started bringing it up. Now, I'd caught glimpses, little flashes of white in a window that when I turned to do like a double take, there wasn't anything there anymore. Maybe an odd shape or something I really couldn't define hanging around the window or near a rose bush, but oftentimes I brushed it off as the white fence that's outside or a bird or anything in the bushes, and I rarely thought anything of it. And I didn't really see this light anywhere else but around our home. Though, as my fiancé settled into this house and began to get accustomed to it, he often commented about seeing flashes of light from the corners of his eyes. Well, once, he could have sworn he saw a pale white face staring in through the window. And it had always been at night when this happened. But one night, as we entered the house, my fiancé stopped abruptly and stared into the dark where the lawn is. I stopped, confused, and asked what was wrong. And he pointed towards the rose bush, claiming that he had seen, for one brief second, deep in the roses, a small humanoid figure there, watching us, clinging to the crisscrossed wooden screen. He'd been pure white, according to my fiancé, and he didn't move. Just one solid pose and a stare. Creeped out, we both moved inside the room. I didn't feel particularly threatened, just unnerved. And at that time, sightings kept occurring now and again, and over the past year and a half, we'd always see something moving, a light when no cars were on the road, perhaps the faintest glimpse of a face-like shape in the window. Well, eventually, we moved to another room in the house, the largest room. This one cannot see the front lawn, so when the sightings of this odd white figure abruptly stopped due to our relocation, we started to forget about it. Friends were brought to the house as our new roommates, and they accompanied both rooms that could easily see the front lawn. But then I saw something that made my blood run cold. One of our new roommates hadn't quite moved in yet, so the room was still totally empty. The door was open, the window was dark, and I happened to look into the room and to the window. It was dark. It was too dark, really, to see the fence, and judging by the angles from the hallway, I wouldn't have been able to see it even on a bright sunny day, but just the house beyond it. So normally the window was solidly black, but not this time. Perhaps I saw it for a nanosecond longer than usual, or it startled me so bad that the sudden burst of adrenaline let me take in more detail. But what I saw wasn't just a regular, ovalesque assumption of a face. I saw a broad, round forehead, which tapered into a long, thin chin. I saw sunken-in, hollow-looking eyes, dead black. I saw a long, thin nose and an impossibly huge, toothy grin, the teeth of which I could barely see through the blackness. The rest of this face was a stark white, like porcelain. It looked very much like a goblin. And while it didn't look completely malicious, which is to say it wasn't glaring angrily at me, I felt my alarm level skyrocket. Now, all this happened within a second or less. I slowed down as I moved past the door, stepped back slowly. It was gone. Feeling very cold, I quickly hurried back to my fiancé to report what I had witnessed. Not long afterwards, I picked up a pencil and paper and sketched out what I had seen as best as I could from memory, and then I showed it to him, and he nodded, affirming that it looked a lot like the faint glimpse he himself had seen in the rose bushes. I showed this picture to our new roommate as well, when he finally moved in, of course. It was the first day, and I felt urged to warn him. Now, it's been a month or two since, and he has reported already seeing this goblinoid in his window, looking a lot like the sketch that I drew. Now, this, I'm not sure, is paranoia or otherwise, since he'd seen my attempt to sketch it. He believes in the paranormal, like my fiancé and I, though none of us in the building seem entirely terrified of these repeated sightings. There's been no scratches on the wall, no footsteps, no bumps in the night. Just this goblin-like figure, smaller than a human, that seems to enjoy hanging around the front lawn and grinning at people. Now, I'm wondering what kind of haunting or infestation this could possibly be. Does anyone have anything like this to report? Thanks. That is a wild story of a goblin possibly living in the rose bushes in your front yard. So, Kara, thank you so much for sending this. I hope y'all enjoyed those weird, wild, wacky stories. Let's take a quick one. When we'll get back, we'll pick what's left of Filson's brain. Not much, but we'll see what Philly's got to add, and hopefully we'll close out with some other weird, wacky stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. There we go.
Yes.
Crazy stories. And then I got to wrap it up, of course, with a goblin.
Yeah.
A goblin. I don't know how I would even feel. Like we always talk about the little people. I'm down with seeing little people. I'd love to check them out in the woods. I don't want to see Bigfoot.
I don't either. I'd rather see Faye.
Change my mind completely. I don't ever want to see Bigfoot ever.
I'm even okay if I see like evil looking goblins. Like I just would rather see a Dwendy than I would a Bigfoot. Yeah.
100%. 100%. I don't know why that is. I don't know why I feel biased to it. Don't want to see Dog Man. I don't even know. Don't want to see a Tiger Man. I don't need to see a Tiger Man. Don't need to see a Horned Beast.
No.
I don't need to see a Pale Crawler. I don't need to see any of that. I don't need to see a UFO. I don't need to see any of that stuff. But I would like to see some Fae folk. But I'm not going to go out there digging around and looking for them because you might come upon this. Brett, I got one for you. This takes place again in Tennessee. Appalachian, Tennessee, there was a black, yellow-eyed, upright canine reported. Okay,
tell me
when
more.
I was in the seventh grade in eastern Tennessee, I was outside with my dog lying on a dirt mound looking at the clouds just to pass the time. This was, boy, that was good times.
Yeah.
Right, when you're just young, you could just hang out. Well, that was great. This was around 5:30 p.m. when my dog started to barking and pulling at the leash. So we lived in the countryside, and we have woods surrounding about half of our house. So I tried, he was a beagle, and I try hushing her up, but she just keeps persisting. I then stood up and looked in the direction that she was looking at, and just to say, hey, and I said, look, there isn't anything there. Just as I say that, a large black creature with a canine body, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Sprinted out of the woods. Now we hear him walking. We don't hear him talked about sprinting. This creature had thin fur that was so black it had a pearlescent hue, which was almost a purple tint. The eyes were a mid-shade of yellow. Its legs were crooked and backwards, and its hands were long and slender. It stood about 7 foot tall when standing on its hind legs. When it dropped to all fours, its back had an aggressive hunch, and it still maintained its fluid motion. Every step seemed precalculated. As it was sprinting, it tilted its head towards me as if it was aware of me, but could not be bothered by my being there.
No, it doesn't have time for you, man. No. It's got stuff to do.
It then,
you're in its way.
For real.
Stop antagonizing Dog Man.
Leave Dog Man alone. You'll like this. It then jumped over a 4 foot tall cattle fence without any problem. I'm a senior in high school now, and just last summer, I had another experience. I worked with my father in his shed. He worked on motors and things and had left my phone inside there. My friend was going to stay the night, so we headed back down to the shed when I realized, oh, I'd left my phone there. It was about 10 o'clock, pitch black, about the same time of year as my previous encounter. So we're standing outside the front of the shed trying to get the key in the keyhole when we hear a rustling in the brush in the woods. It's very faint, sounded like that of a breeze on leaves. Both my friend and I heard it, so we turned flashlights towards the brush only to see a pitch-black shape standing in the light brush. The yellow eyes destroy my mind every time I recall that moment. My friend says, you see that, right? By this time, I'm already sprinting towards the house. Seeing this creature and knowing how it was just watching us tore my mind apart. It was so silent. I had a mental breakdown as soon as I got to the house. I've never had such an intense reaction to anything. From then on, every time I went into the woods, I felt like something was watching me. Now, I know this sounds crazy, and I get that. And I struggle with telling anyone, and this is the first time that I've ever tried to reach out in search of similar experiences, Z. Well, Z, you're not alone.
Right?
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of similar experiences.
That's correct. That have taken place. That's what makes it so scary, right?
That's what makes it so terrifying. And most of them are just like you talked about right here. They just kind of linger and watch.
Yeah.
But the idea of it sprinting, dude, I'm out. No thanks. Man, no thank you.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. Check this out, Cam. It says, this happened to me back in 2018 at a sleepaway camp, and it still sends shivers down my spine.
Word.
I've always had the passion for the supernatural and the idea of cryptids roaming the forest, but I've always kept my guard up since this encounter. So to set the scene, I was on a winter camping retreat with my church called Ice Camp, and we traveled to a place called Camp Michindo, located outside
Ice Camp. Yeah. In a place called Camp Camp.
It's located outside of a town in Hillsdale, Michigan. The first night was pretty much uneventful, but we got to explore the campgrounds at night as well as got settled into our cabins. However, all the joy was taken out when we were told never to explore the campgrounds alone at night or the monsters would get us. Now, for a bunch of rowdy teenage boys, we just laughed it off and went to bed. The morning was uneventful, but one detail about where my cabin was, it was across a large lake with a relatively small footbridge connecting our cabin to the main lodge and all of the other cabins. So in the main dining hall, one of the cabins mentioned how last night none of them got to sleep because something was howling in the woods near a section called the Western Town. And my cabin didn't believe them for one second, and we just told them it was probably just coyotes or wolves, since there have been gray wolf sightings near our camp. However, the teens telling us they were clearly shaken up, and they were so adamant that it was something else. We joked around and said, oh, it's Bigfoot. So they just told my cabin to shut up, and we did. Well, as the day progressed, my cabin and counselor had done activities to keep us interested. However, that evening would be the worst night of our lives. It was around midnight, and we set up a bonfire to sit around and reflect upon the sermon that was given. Shortly after, we just began to talk about random stuff, and that's when we heard a bunch of coyotes. We really didn't think anything of it, but then it just went dead quiet in the span of maybe a couple of minutes. Then we heard one of the most guttural howls that sounded like a human being murder mixed with a wolf howl. This made us all jump up, and we wanted answers to what we heard. So my counselor, myself, and two other cabin mates entered the woods with a 200-lumen flashlight. We had good visibility, and at first, we didn't find anything. Then, way off into the distance, the furthest area the flashlight could reach, we saw two pairs of red, glowing eyes looking at us. As it got closer, we thought we saw wolves, but the movements were unnatural. It was more like a person down on all fours. My counselor told us to move away slowly, but the creature kept approaching. And before I could remember, the second one stood up and began to charge at us. We ran as fast as we could. We yelled at our cabin mates to get their butts in the cabin. And of course, they were confused as to why we were running until they heard the same howl as earlier. We all hauled our butts from the bonfire across the footbridge, but we stopped halfway because we thought it would go, that we didn't think it would get any closer. Until we heard the word woods creaking just out of our vision. And my entire cabin booked it once again, this time up to my cabin. And we bolted the door shut. Whatever had followed us was now circling our cabin. All of us were freaking out. But then the thing looked into the window, and I got a good look at what it was. It had a human body, muscular, yet lanky at the same time. And the head wasn't like that of a Sasquatch, no. It was like that of a wolf. All night we heard scraping and heavy footsteps. Until early morning, it lost interest and I guess left. I went to get some breakfast early that morning, and to my horror, I found a large set of claw marks in the wood and a large set of footprints leading towards the forest. So after that harrowing encounter, I found that there was a thing around there that had been seen that wasn't Bigfoot, but rather an older cryptid from Michigan folklore. The Michigan Dogman. Ever since, I refused to go to sleepaway camp because whatever I saw, it could still be roaming those campgrounds. Hey,
yikes.
Another Dogman sighting.
Man.
Terrifying, right?
Why is Michigan the spot?
Man, it Wisconsin and Michigan.
They must breed dogmen up there.
That's why I'm never going.
Yeah, well, we're going.
No, we're not.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's we? You and that mouse in your pocket?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's crazy, folks. If you have any cool dog man stories or anything else you want to share with us and the listeners, do not hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD.
And let's not forget about the sponsor.
Yes.
Look, like I said before, this fool's been busy. He's been carrying them in his car with him.
I do.
Just eat so he can't, he doesn't have to slow down. Folks, it's IQ Bar. Make sure to go check it out. Get the free offer. Super easy. Just text expanded to 64,000.
That's it, folks. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Kim.
Peace, y'all.